All right, let's look through the window of baseball. We do it for Trude and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors, and we do this with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, how are you?
Very well, Marty. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, and last night was one of those games that make people love baseball because, you go through the ups and downs of a game. It had everything in it. It had the tight six innings of 1-0, and then as Red Barber said in 1947, all hell broke loose after that.
Yeah, well, that was one of the best games for them of the season. A tremendous win. I mean, you're in St. Louis where sometimes you just expect things to go wrong. They come back in the seventh only to lose it. Terrible leadoff walk there by Okert to trigger that rally, which I know Bochy was upset about, rightfully so. But then they come back again. It's a great quote from Melanson afterwards, something about, you know, this is the team that I admired and wanted to come and play for. And it does look familiar. There's nothing surprising about a great Giants win to me.
No, and, you know, as I said, you know, if you look at the people that contributed, there were six runs in the last three innings. And over those three innings, Span 2-for-2. Belt got the big hit. How about Belt's hit to start off the ninth inning?
Yeah, that was huge.
And Crawford's hit knocks Belt to third. You're only down by a run, so you had the feeling, hey, we can tie this thing up. And Nunez, who goes, he gets the big hit in the seventh inning, and also now finally comes through with a big hit, the double to put him ahead. And, Bruce, I want to talk about Nunez just a little bit. There's just that element of speed. This guy gets on now, and he wants a run. He's a threat to run. And he's starting to swing the bat a little bit.
Yeah, I think he's got something like 11 stolen bases with probably a lot more to come. And, you know, he's just he plays the game hard, and he's exciting. He's an explosive player. I mean, he's certainly not perfect, and sometimes the fans get exasperated with him. But that hit last night in the ninth showed a lot of composure, a lot of moxie, and he really shreds the ball when he's on. He's a hard hitting player, and he looks pretty good in the outfield. So there's a lot to like there.
Yeah, for me and him in the outfield, he's starting to look less awkward. Let me say
that's right.
That
yeah, he's turned in some pretty good plays. He hasn't been perfect out there for sure.
Yeah, but his speed, you know, when you can run, you can outrun the ball a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, he's been a plus.
Yeah. All right. You mentioned a couple of things in the column this morning. Steve Palermo, I want to get your thoughts about him. It was one of those compelling stories in the 90s. Or here's a major league umpire, there's a mugging going on, a waitress, and he goes out in the parking lot to help, and he gets shot and ends up being paralyzed, but became really a symbol of Major League Baseball, what was good about umpires and people taking, you know, a stand and doing things. He was a very special guy.
He really was. I mean, aside from the amazing fortitude he showed in that incident, you know, on the field, he had a little bit of personality, but he wasn't obnoxious like Ken Kaiser or Joe West. I mean, he was a super bright guy, very good umpire, never really took himself too seriously. And he was like somebody you'd like to get to know. You know, you'd like to run into him at a party and chat him up for a while, where most of these guys seem a little bit robotic You know, the era of the great personality umpires is definitely fading, and he represented it pretty well.
Yeah, Eddie Montague really was broken up about it, and I saw Eddie last Sunday, and I said, Eddie, you want to come on and say anything? And, you know, Eddie usually loves coming on and talking. He couldn't do it. This was like his brother, and that told me a lot about who Steve Palermo was, so I'm glad you mentioned it today. The other one you mentioned was Wayne Walker. And, of course, I got out here in 72, and Wayne Walker was KPIX for many of those years. But was he a baseball guy, too? And I know he was with Lon on the football and everything else, and he did a lot of – he was so comfortable on the air. That's what I always remember about him. But was he a baseball fan?
Well, yeah. I mean, he didn't play the game, but he spoke with great authority and understanding, sort of an inside understanding of what the game's all about. I think he tried to spend a lot of time around baseball people, and so when he went on the air, it was a voice, you know, of authority, and he'd take you a little bit extra mile with it, which was sort of the way he treated everything. He was great on the air. I mean, this is a guy who pounded heads in the NFL for the Detroit Lions for a lot of years as an outside linebacker. And as I noted in the story, he did have Parkinson's disease, but most of the people who were in contact to him right to the end said he was mostly very cogent and appreciative and engaged and had no regrets about playing in the NFL whatsoever. Even if he knew now, or if he knew then what people know now about things, he would still do it. So, I mean, real special guy.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned him. Steve Croner wrote a nice obituary of him. But I always remember him, and I wasn't in the business in those days. Just very relaxed on you could just trust. It seemed that you could trust what he was going to tell you.
Exactly. He was a real strong presence, a good sense of humor, but he could deliver a hardline analysis when he had to. He seemed like a natural for the television side of it.
Well, I think when I got here, Steve Summers, is that, remember him? Steve Summers?
Yeah.
Barry Tompkins, and I think Milt Kahn.
Yeah, Steve Summers, not so much for me. Barry Tompkins, now you're up in the big leagues again.
Yeah. Remember Milt Kahn?
Just barely.
Yeah, he was kind of, I think he lasted maybe 3 weeks.
Yeah, okay.
It was like putting Pete Franklin on TV, that kind of stuff. And
yeah, yeah. Hardly Roger Kahn or even Genghis Kahn.
No, it wasn't even Stanley Kahn.
Okay. Yeah.
Who was in my fraternity in college, that's right.
Oh, there's the great Stanley Kahn.
Right,
yeah.
The great Stan Kahn. the run differential. Giants are still minus 60, but somehow or other they've won 7 of 9. And you look at minus 60, that's a big number. But I don't know, I sort of feel better at least what I'm seeing.
Yeah, it's just a couple of games. But, I mean, clutch hitting is just that. And that means more than whatever the numbers say, going in or any of that stuff to me. I mean, I don't really pay much attention to the numerical side of it. It's more like what you're seeing out there. What we saw early on was really depressing because some very key aspects of the team were letting them down. The defense and the bullpen, even the starting pitching, and the way they look and feel now feels a lot more like the Giants. And the biggest number to me is how far back are they from 500? Because that's got to be the first goal. And it's still a pretty good haul, but I think they're going to get there.
Well, there's only 7 teams in the league at 500. And including, seriously, Colorado and Arizona. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't care what people say about their pitching. Let's talk in August about them.
Yeah.
And Milwaukee. And then you've got, you've got St. Louis, Chicago, Washington, and the Dodgers. And the Giants fit into this group. They're a decent baseball team. And all they have to do is is play that way.
They absolutely fit in, as far as I'm concerned. I think the Cubs are going to rise to the top. And they're still the class of the league, I think. Although Washington, they've got a huge lead, with their bullpen coughing up games right and left. They still have a huge lead. Because the heart of their batting order is just so great, and they pick up the ball, and they got great spirit and Dusty Baker and everything. But yeah, I think it's going to be pretty tight when it all gets down to it. And I think the Giants will be in the mix.
Yeah, I do. Tanner Roark, 2 days ago, 5 innings pitched. It's not unusual. He gave up 4 runs or something. 114 pitches.
Yeah.
Dusty, white courtesy telephone, Dusty Baker. What are you doing? I mean, and of course, I don't see the game. I don't know. Maybe they weren't high-stress pitches, but 114 pitches in 5 innings, and you could do the math. That's an average of 23 an inning.
Yeah. Once again, numbers. I'm not a big pitch count guy. Like you say, you needed to see what was going on. And, Dusty, he had that reputation for overworking guys, which has been refuted by, even the guys involved, Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor. Back in 2003, I think it was. And he's been way more careful about pitchers' innings lately. So, I don't know. I think he gave Roark some rope there. He's been a pretty big – he's kind of strikes you as a horse. He can go out there and do that. It's not an extraordinary amount of pitches just in itself. I don't care what area you're in. 114 pitches is nothing to me. But if it was in one inning, that would be a little disturbing.
Or two innings, maybe. Then all right. Well, I'm going to when FP gets here on Memorial Day, that's one question I want to get. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's watch Roark's next 2 starts.
Yeah, exactly.
And let's see what happens with him. ESPN. I had a little poll going today, and I'll ask you the greatest right-handed hitter of all times, and I don't know how they pick these people, but Hank Aaron, Miguel Cabrera, Jimmy Fox, Willie Mays, Albert Pujols, Manny Ramirez, Frank Robinson, or Mike Trout.
Yeah, who's the greatest?
I guess greatest.
That's
right-handed.
A great list. That would be kind of my top list off the top of my head. Yeah. I mean, might throw Clemente in there, but I mean, to me, it's Aaron. I mean, because he, you know, before he became known as a guy threatening the home run record, he was about the purest hitter you've ever seen. An unbelievable line drive hitter, unbelievable wrists. Feel for the game, going the opposite way when he had to, and just everything. He was always my favorite player. I mean, I knew Mays was pretty much the best, but I loved Aaron because he was understated and so beautiful to watch. I think I've got to put him up there, but that's an august group, as they might say.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. I think it's either Aaron or Mays.
Yeah.
Fox was more one-dimensional as a home run hitter. Pujols, the older Pujols, just, you know, he drives runs in, but it's not the same. Manny Ramirez, it's hard to judge him. One of the great right-handed hitters, though. Frank Robinson, maybe not in the Aaron Mays class. And Trout, we don't know enough about. And Cabrera.
Yeah, he's definitely in there. What about DiMaggio? Is he in there?
No. This is
should be.
Just these eight. That's what they had.
DiMaggio struck out like once a month.
Well, he hit 37 home runs and struck out 9 times.
Well, they talk about great stats. Good grief!
Now the Giants are going to not get Arrieta because the Cubs got rained out today, and he's going to pitch tomorrow, which means they'll get Lackey on Monday. But, you know, look at, you know, you talk about the Cubs. Arrieta last year threw 8 games, right? Just a couple of numbers. 129 earned run average, 0.84 whip, right? This year, 544 earned run average and a whip of 1.46 and a batting average 291 against. How about that?
Yeah, Giants might wish they were getting him. I mean, you know, get him while he's cold.
Really?
And get a little resume against him. You probably got some guys on that team who are like, you know, 2-for-19 against him lifetime. And just to do anything against him, no matter what state he's in, will build your confidence a little bit for next time.
I like the Cardinals series. And I said this, something about Mike Matheny. There's always something weird with the bullpen. Either he doesn't bring them, you know, he brings them in too early, too late. Something always happens with this bullpen. And you couple that with Broxton, and you got to feel better.
Well, yeah, you do. It's not. I agree. You think of the great Cardinal relievers of late, and you think of moments and episodes. You know, Rosenthal and such. But now they're who's their closer now? Is it the guy who tried to close it last night? Is he the?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah. And he had done well. Henry said in his story, he hadn't given up an earned run, I guess, since April. But if you watched him last night, maybe it was the rain delay. Who knows what effect it has on the players. But he was throwing lollipops up there.
Yeah, there's sort of a sense that once you get past the starters, and you know, especially with Waka in last night's case, that it could be a good thing, you know, as opposed to going up against, you know, teams that are just stacked with great hard-throwing relievers. There's more of them every day, it seems. But, they're the Cardinals, and today and tomorrow will be close, and Matheny will look grim, and Bochy will be smiling a little bit, and it'll be all good.
Yeah, I like Cardinals. And look, Giants have handled the Cardinals better than any team in baseball since 2008. That was in the notes that came out this afternoon. So I like these games. I think they're very competitive games, and the Cardinals are – sort of like the Giants. But I'll tell you this. We had Jennifer Langosh on today from MLB.com. Cardinals are last in fielding in the National League. How about that? And second in pitching. That's not a good combination.
No, I think Kurt Flood and Marty Marion would be upset to hear that. You know, they usually are pretty tight defensively. If not, you know, I mean, of course, Ozzie Smith is the all-time symbol of the team. But that's a little surprising.
Well, you can't leave out Dal Maxwell.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Ken Boyer, and of course,
and
the great, you know who, Solly Hummus.
Well, on top of the list.
And Alex Grammas, of course.
I think Don Blasingame had a few good moments in there.
The Blazer, absolutely. Yeah. He was a Giant at one point.
He was a well-traveled sort.
Last thought for you, Chris Sale tied a record of 8 straight double-digit strikeout games within the season. Pedro's got the record of 10 over 2 seasons. But for this guy, 8 straight, are we missing something with Chris Sale? When you hear Chris Sale, do you think, wow, I can't wait to see him pitch?
I don't know about that, but I don't know how anybody ever hits him. I really don't. I mean, from the arm slots that he has, you know, the wicked slider, great fastball, kind of a mean temperament. You know, he's out there all business. He's so tough to hit. I was really impressed the way the A's got to him last night. But, I mean, if I wanted somebody out there to pitch a big game for me, he'd be right up there with, you know, Scherzer and Kershaw and those guys.
Yeah, yeah, he is. There's just something about him. And I think he's got a little of the Randy Johnson in him. You know, you don't want to mess with this guy, especially if he has scissors. He'll cut your uniform off.
Yeah. Watch out what uniform you hand.
That's correct.
He might cut it to ribbons.
Yeah, no, you walk in, he doesn't like the clothing. Well, he's the guy who cuts your tie in half, that guy.
Yeah, well, he seems to have found a nice resting place in Boston, and that he's a big reason they're going to stay in it. So,
yeah, absolutely. Hey, great to have you on as always. Early tomorrow, we start at 8 tomorrow, so we'll talk to you at 9 tomorrow.
I'll be up. I'll get the coffee going right now.
All right. You sound good today. You feeling okay?
Yeah, you know, I'm really on the upswing. I've had a terrible health year, like months on end, but I'm reaching a point where I can get back in the ballgame as far as getting out and covering stuff pretty soon.
Well, you sound great. Okay, have a good afternoon, Bruce. We'll talk to you
tomorrow.
Thanks,
Marty. Appreciate it, man.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins. More coming up on the Sports Leader.